Nairo Quintana, qué bravo Nairo Quintana, Nairo Quintana. Scende le Ande e qui diventa già un grande Nairo Quintana. Vien dall'altura e per gli altri è vita dura, Nairo Quintana.
We are listening to the cycling podcast at the Giro d'Italia in association with Rafa. Today we are in Chiancavallo.
Cozze cittene, cozze, cozze piscine, non spicudeci cora, non spicudeci cora. Cozze cittene, cozze, cozze piscine, non spicudeci cora, se non mangiano le femmine.
Hello, my name is Richard Moore. I'm with Daniel Freib.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Daniel.
Very schmaltzy cycling podcast tonight, isn't it? I hope people can hear the soft, the smooth
plinky
jazz
plonky,
playing.
Plinky plonky jazz in the background. Yeah. Can you hear that? Can you hear that?
We're on a golf course.
Lionel will be having kittens because I'm not sure we've got the rights to whatever music they happen to be playing.
We're on a golf course, so I'm happy.
We're on a golf course. We're sharing with the Eurosport crew over there. They just bought us a drink. That means we'll probably have to buy them one back at some point. I think that's how it works.
Might get in some practice tomorrow, Rich, for my
speed golf
maiden appearance in the British Speed Golf Open in September.
Yeah, no, we're all looking forward to that.
Anyway, more importantly, we were played in again.
Oh, yeah. Dino Zandagu.
In very melodic fashion.
Yeah, well, there were some Colombian... We had some Dumoulin fans with much to sing about in yesterday's episode. Daniel was singing that song all day in the car.
The Nairo Quintana song? No, I was singing the Dumoulin song.
Yeah,
wasn't
you
I?
Were. Yeah. You were.
How's it go again?
Oh, come on, you were singing it all day.
Tommy Dumoulin. That's it. Yeah, I've got it. I'm not going to subject the listeners.
Tonight, it was the Colombian fans who were singing with good reason, but we also heard Dino, the 1967 Tour of Flanders winner. Winner of four stages of the Giro d'Italia.
Stopped him off the finish, Rich. He dutifully got out all of his song lyrics. He carries around this big wad of paper with all of his different songs, the lyrics of all of his different songs. And, I'm making it sound as though he was reluctant to sing. Like, he wasn't at all. He's always very willing to sing, very happy to sing. But
he treated us
quite
to
amazing,
his Quintana
really.
Song the other night, didn't he? And he's got a Nibali one as well.
Yeah, he didn't want to sing the Nibali one
I don't
tonight.
Know if he does. Does he do... Tommy Dumoulin.
I'm not sure. He doesn't.
That's not his style, is it?
I think he's saving the Nibali one because I think he thinks that Nibali's going to win the Giro and not Quintana. But, you know, Quintana back in pink, so it had to be the Condor tonight.
Yeah, well, Quintana is back in pink after another eventful stage, San Candido to Piancavallo, 191 kilometres. It was a tough stage again, particularly the final climb up to Piancavallo. The other climbs didn't look on paper too difficult, but there was a bit of drama early on when Tom Dumoulin was distanced on a descent. There were rumours at the time that he had stopped for another call of nature, number one this time, and that teams had taken advantage. Not the case. He said at the finish, we'll hear from him a bit later, he was just not paying attention. Anyway, he got back on, but perhaps effort cost him because on Piancavallo, he lost a bit of time. He slipped off the back. Very, very steep climb. Very hard climb. And long as well. 16 kilometres long. Up front, Mikel Landa. Third time lucky. Having yet another go to win the stage. Didn't want to leave it anything to chance this time. He's been beaten in two-man sprints on two occasions. So he knew he had to win it alone. We'll hear from him as well because I spoke to him at the start.
And Rich, is this the tail of the tapper?
Yeah.
It feels like there's less pomp and ceremony about the tail of the tapper when you're doing it. Well, you just kind of you seamlessly segue into it. I quite like it.
Chat about the stage,
with Lionel.
There's
we
a
get,
lot of pomp
we
and
get
ceremony.
Trumpets and bunting and pageantry.
Oh, there was some other drama at the foot of the climb on the run into it when the teams were sort of battling for the front and Rory Sutherland seemed to sort of switch Eugenio Alafaci, the Trek Segafredo rider. It looked fairly innocuous.
I heard that Alafaci threw a bottle at him.
Well, Alafaci leant down and pulled the bead on out and threw it with some force at Rory Sutherland's bottom.
Shades of Tom Steele's and Fred Moncassin on Tom Steele's in Bordeaux in 1998.
It was Tom Steele on Fred Moncassin. Yeah, and he was thrown out.
In Bordeaux, or Dax, I think it was Bordeaux, in 1998.
I think Shades of
Mario Cipollini in the 2003 Gent-Wevelgem.
That's great. Look it up on YouTube.
Commissaire.
Fantastic aim. Rory Sutherland's bottom wasn't so difficult to hit because it was literally right in front of Alafaci, and it's one of the bigger bottoms in the peloton, I would suggest. Well, he's just a big lad, isn't he? Anyway, the bottle bounced off, and it then went into the middle of the bunch, and it could have caused a crash. So, a dangerous move. He had fallen off earlier in the stage, Alafaci, so he was not in the best of humour anyway. I think he'll be thrown off the race. We did see some Trek Segafredo officials being marched through headquarters and a team car parked outside. Any news on that yet, Daniel?
Just checking, Rich. If you can hold the mic I am holding the mic. If you can keep things ticking over for a few seconds.
I'd be surprised if he was
fined and docked time, but remains in the Giro.
I'm surprised at that. Anyway,
I would have fined and docked him time for his moustache, but anyway.
Anyway.
Moustache.
In the race itself, Dumoulin did lose a bit of time today, and once again, second day in a row, it was Thibaut Pinot of the overall contenders who looked best and attacked and gained a bit of time. Not much, but, you know, it's tantalisingly close on GC. Quintana has taken over the pink jersey, as Daniel said. Dumoulin is just 38 seconds down. Vincenzo Nibali, the shark, is lurking at 43 seconds. And Thibaut Pinot at 53 seconds. The top four all within a minute on time. That's with one mountain stage remaining and a time trial. That's pretty much perfect. White jersey competition, again, interesting. Bob Jungels had a good day. He stayed in that group where Dumoulin didn't, which perhaps confirms just what a bad day Dumoulin had. But Adam Yates is 8th overall, Bob Jungels 9th. Formula lost a little bit of time today. He's down to 11th. So it was another eventful stage. And Nairo Quintana in pink, but is he a champion in waiting? He doesn't look like that to me.
No, and since we're on a golf course, which I think I'm allowed a golfing metaphor tonight, I think Tom Dumoulin is the leader in the clubhouse. Looking at his advantage with the time trials to come, I think he's in great shape. However, didn't have a good day today, and even tonight he said he was hopeful rather than confident of having a better day tomorrow. And if he doesn't, and he loses another minute or 2 minutes tomorrow, then Thibaut Pinot becomes the favourite to win this Giro d'Italia, in my opinion.
It's a very tired-looking group of riders. We were just, this week is insane. 5 consecutive days in the mountains.
They Tuesday, do look
Wednesday,
very tired.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 5 consecutive days in the mountains. That is a lot, and it's taking its toll on everybody. Even Quintana, who we normally see get less weak than others at this stage of the race, they all look pretty spent. Pinot looks the freshest and the most active of the lot of them. But dare I suggest that had he not been involved in that crash on the stage of Blockhouse, I think Mikel Landa would be in the pink jersey.
Well, I think he's certainly the strongest climber in the race.
It's difficult to say, isn't it? Because doing what he's doing...
And he hasn't really won these stages. Well, he didn't win today necessarily following the strict definition of a la pedal. I mean, it was from a break, and yesterday was from a break as well that he almost won.
Which
the
he wouldn't be in, the, obviously, if,
exactly.
if he was
so
a
it's
rock
quite
trainer.
Different. And of course, he's riding without pressure now. But it's interesting you talked there about the tiredness and general fatigue. They certainly look very tired, the riders, and we're seeing a lot of sort of fairly wan, limp-looking riders floating around or staggering around the start village in the morning. But Vincenzo Nibali said tonight that it was one of the fastest climbs, or the rhythm was as fast as he could remember in any mountain stage in the Giro.
Funny, isn't it? Because when you're watching it, and Pellizzotti, his teammate, Nibali's teammate, was tapping out rhythm on the front, and Dumoulin was losing a bit of time, and people were saying, well, why aren't Quintana and Nibali attacking? This is time to go. And of course, easier said than done. I mentioned Landa. I spoke to Landa at the start. He was warming up on his turbo trainer at the time. He was wearing his mountains jersey. And here's what he had to say, Mikel Landa. Obviously, your Giro has changed a bit, but you're in the mountains jersey. Is that consolation for what's happened?
No, not enough. No, it's a different goal. My goal wasn't the mountain. But yeah, unfortunately, we have that problem. And after that, I had to find motivation. And I find it.
What do you feel about your form here? You're obviously in great form. Looking at yourself compared to some of the other overall contenders, do you feel like you're climbing and riding as well as anybody here?
Yeah, I think in Europa I saw everyone, no, that I was strongest than the GC riders. And yeah, I'm trying not to win a stage, and I have to try it from the breakaway.
You've tried twice now in particular to win stages, and come very close both times. Yesterday in particular, that must have been one you felt that you had, was it?
Yeah, yesterday was also a hard stage, but I had a hard contender with me, and he plays his cards better than me.
Did you know the finish at all? Had you looked at the finish?
Yeah, we had a look, but then on the race, it's difficult to stay calm.
So you prefer an uphill finish, which we've got today, obviously. Is today another day that you fancy?
Yeah, for me, the best way to win is an uphill finish, so today is better.
And on your own?
Yeah, better.
So, I mean, how are the legs? Do you feel, another 2 days in the mountains, do you feel that you've, you know, still got another chance at a stage win?
Yeah, I start feeling tired, no, like everybody, but I'm in good shape, so I'm optimistic.
And the possibility of getting on the podium in Milan in the mountains jersey?
Yes, for sure. We are going to fight for this jersey, and it's a goal now for the team.
So that was Mikel Landa, as he said, targeting a stage win still. He looks pretty secure now in the mountains jersey, so he should be on the podium in Milan, but not in the way that he had hoped at the start of the race. He will, I was speaking to Dave Brailsford this morning, he will also go to the Tour de France now. They are pretty sure about that.
Will he stay at Sky?
That's a really good question. I think they would like to keep him. They, at the end of last year, really sort of took him in hand, as it were, and he began to be coached by Xavier Arteche, who's a coach at Team Sky, previously at Movistar, Basque coach, and Landa obviously is a Basque rider. They've known each other a long time, but Landa had known Arteche as an under-23 coach, but they're working really well together apparently, and Landa seems to be thriving with his coaching. So he seems quite happy there, and he is out of contract at the end of the year. His performance here at the Giro will be increasing his market value, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned the other day, Rich, I think we've got this triangle of riders, Bob Jungels, Aru, and Landa. Possibly you can throw Formolo in there as well, which would make it a square, not a triangle. But they're all, they're sort of wanted by the same teams, and one of those riders moving or deciding that he's not going to renew his contract, his current team, I think might alter the destiny of the other riders. I mean, Landa is someone who's been linked with a return to Astana, but if they re-sign, if they renew the contract with Fabio Aru, then they perhaps won't have the money or the will to buy up another GC leader.
Brailsford, interestingly, said this morning that the problem that Landa had in the two finishes that he appeared to mess up, if we're being harsh, was nerves, that he's not used to, you know, to sprinting with other people. He's generally, when he's generally won alone. And, you know, a hilltop finish was obviously the ideal scenario for him today, and so it proved. Tom Dumoulin was the other big story of the day, of course. I mean, he's still right in it, 38 seconds, but he had a bad day, and that was clear. And here's what he had to say.
Is today your hardest day, Tom?
So far, yes. I felt already at the start that I had a bad day, that I had bad legs, and then a rookie mistake in the downhill, actually, being too far back already caused some stress and caused some action, which wasn't necessary. And then on the last climb, I just had to limit my losses.
There was some talk of an attack when you stopped for a pee. Is that what happened? We didn't see it at that point.
No, I was just chatting in the back.
So nothing untoward about it?
No. They, Bahrain and Movistar saw that I was not paying attention at that moment, and they profited optimally from it. If I stay with them tomorrow, then I still have a chance, but it will be very difficult.
Hi, I'm Patrick. I'm a graphic designer here at Rafa. My favourite cycling jersey, I've got like a bit of a penchant for like horrible Euro kit. I found on eBay a long time ago a kit from a team called Falaschi, and I think they were a sort of Italian continental team back in the 90s. And it's, if you imagine, a pink highlighter pen, a blue highlighter pen, and then throw in some incredibly garish provincial sponsors logos. Like, I think there's a cement company on there, And I think there's like a Bricklayers logo, something like that. Yeah, it's pretty rowdy. It's so quintessentially Euro cycling of a certain era that I've got a certain love for it. But then more recently, I think the copy collection that we've just produced is absolutely stunning and is just timeless.
The Rafa Cycling Club is the largest global community of its kind. Members share their passion for the road through rides, events, exclusive club kits and racing. Find out more at rafa.cc.
Thank you very much indeed to our sponsor, Rafa. Very grateful indeed to them. Anybody who's in the Milan area, they have a pop-up in Milan, and we will be going there, Daniel and I, on Sunday at 1 o'clock to record a little bit of the podcast. So come along. We may have a Pedalar de Charme t-shirt to give away to somebody, because we've got a couple left over. So if you're small and you fancy a Pedalar de Charme t-shirt, come along at 1 o'clock to the Rafa pop-up in Milan. I'm sure, don't have the address to hand, I'll look that up for tomorrow.
Talking future Pedalars de Charme, Richard, is Filippo Pozzato still sixth on general classification?
No, he slipped right back down. He was, a few people mistakenly put Pozzato at sixth.
Pretty much the whole
GC.
British media,
wasn't yeah, it? Yeah, brilliant. It was almost like a bug in the system. Daniel had, forget the fancy bears, Daniel had been hacking the Guardian BBC systems. Anyway, speaking of Pozzato and indeed Dumoulin, who we heard from before the break there, we did our latest poll to find Pedalar de Charme for week three of the Giro yesterday, last night. That closed a short time ago. There were close to 1,000 votes. And the winner, convincing winner, was Tom Dumoulin. 41%, Pierre Roland 22%, Mikel Landa 20%, and Filippo Pozzato bringing up the rear with 17%. I mean, decent for somebody who's done absolutely nothing in the race.
Except look fantastic. Talking of looking fantastic, Pierre Roland did a great ride again today, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did. He has a go. I mean, his attitude is fantastic. And speaking of Pierre Roland, our final kilometre zero of the Giro went out today, and that was a look at Michael Woods, Michael Rusty Woods. He's called Rusty, by the way, because his middle name is Russell. Canadian rider in his second year at World Tour level at 30, making his debut at the Giro. He was a fantastic runner. Still the Canadian, the fastest ever Canadian miler on Canadian soil, 3:58, I think. So he was a brilliant runner, got injured, had to give it up, drifted for a few years and then found cycling, and it's quite a story, and he's a very interesting guy. So that is our latest Kilometre Zero, sponsored by All Press Espresso. We'll be drinking some All Press Espresso in the Rafa pop-up on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Come along. Dumoulin, though, who tomorrow, I mean, he's out of the pink jersey, but he's into the Pedalar de Charme t-shirt. I'm sure he'd be happy with that.
And as we said, the clubhouse lead. I think he did exceptionally well today. Again, was very, very smart. Clearly knows what he's doing on the climbs. Clearly has a really strong plan.
He didn't give that impression afterwards. He seemed very disappointed.
I think he was disappointed that he lost time originally. More importantly, he lost energy because of a bit of a rookie mistake on the descent off Zapada. Zapada is infamous in Giro history because Stephen Roach committed. Did he commit treachery, Rich? I mean, you spoke to him at length about the 1987 Giro, but this is where it all went off.
Funny you should mention that, Daniel.
Now, here's Roach. He's fourth, fifth in this little group coming in. And so that means that on the day, there's going to be a change of leadership. Now, the clock is significant. Look at this. 6:44, 45, 46. Vizzantini has blown it. The pink jersey's gone.
My master had to be protecting me and my food because we were afraid of somebody poisoning me. And my mechanic, Patrick Welk, had to prepare and look after my bike because they were afraid of somebody sabotaging my bike. So it was very complicated and very lonely. I was getting very, very worried because there was people trying to hit me on the climb the climbs. There were people taking rice in their mouth in the last minute, a mouthful of wine, and spitting the wine and rice at me. Banners, Roach Bastardo, Roach Via Casa, incredible banners all over the place, and it was very, very hostile. When I finished, I had the jersey on my back for where it was 4, 5, 6, 7 days, and arrived in the finish line, and I was kind of waiting for someone to give me a towel. But there's nobody there to wait for me, nobody whatsoever. And like, I mean, I was a star for 5 days. I had the pink jersey in my back, I had interviews everywhere, I became famous, you know. And all of a sudden then, buff, dropped. Just someone unplugged me, you know. I'll always remember, even to this day, when I walked into the restaurant, Massimo Girotto turned around to me and said, "Stefano, you shouldn't have done that." And I was so upset, I turned around and walked away again. And that was the beginning of a kind of a hostile few days.
You set that up nicely, Daniel. That was a little trailer for our latest Friends special, the 1987 Giro According to Stephen Roach. Become a friend of the podcast at thecyclingpodcast.com, just £10, and you will get access to 11 monthly episodes. And that one was Stephen Roach and the story of the 87 Giro, because it was on the stage of Zapata that he committed.
And the race was going into Zapata and down. He said
he didn't attack his teammate, Roberto Vicentini. He just rode down the hill faster than him.
Well, today, Richard, we're going the other direction, down the same hill, down the hill that Stephen Roach and Vicentini came up. And Dumoulin's positioning was or left a little bit to be desired. And I think, you know, there is still a bit of naivety about Tom Dumoulin and his team. His team were excellent today. Probably one of their best days of the Giro. Simon Geschke in particular was fantastic on the final climb. But, you know, Dumoulin got to the finish today and he was absolutely besieged by journalists. And for not just for a few minutes, which is the norm, and then a PR person will then sort of put the shutters down and tell everyone to move on. But he was completely exposed. There was no one in sight, really. And he was answering questions while he was warming down on his turbo trainer for about 20 minutes, which is something you would never see a rider who has won multiple Grand Tours do, because they know the protocol. They know, you know, they would have figured out where the bus was going to be at the finish and what the implications would be if they lost the jersey and so forth and so forth. There is this naivety which makes him endearing. He's very spontaneous. He's very natural. But, you know, I think that was his main frustration tonight, not with his performance and how he felt. Obviously, you know, he didn't have a great day and his legs weren't great. More the fact he'd suffered today because of that moment's inattention on the descent of Zapata.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fitting winner of Petit de Charme because he is very charming and very gracious. And the one incident or episode that might contradict that where it was his war of words after the stage the previous day. And that seemed to be something that he regretted, even though he'd said it numerous times. You know, it was clearly something he intended to say. It wasn't a spur-of-the-moment emotional outburst. It was calculated. He seemed to then sleep on it and regret it and apologise to Nibali this morning.
And even before he made those comments, Rich, yesterday about hoping Nibali and Quintana don't finish on the podium. He'd attacked them, of course, on the final climb yesterday, and his Sunweb director sportif, Ike Visbeek, hadn't been too impressed with that. He thought it was a bit of provocation, and perhaps Dumoulin paid for that today. Here's what Ike Visbeek said at the finish.
What was not so smart was to attack in the final yesterday, because I think that was not so good. But other than that, I think he did. It was high in his emotions, and he patched it up today, this morning, and it was a done deal for us.
So that was Ike Visbeek, the sports director at Team Sunweb. Daniel, you spoke at the finish to Vincenzo Nibali, the shark. He's third overall. I would have thought that tomorrow's stage suits him quite well.
Yeah, it should do. But tomorrow he will know, you know, he knows those roads pretty well, and the descent's going to be important because it comes before sort of 10, 12 kilometres of valley road. And then the final climb, which is going to be very, very narrow. Some talk today about whether team cars are going to be able to get up to their riders or not. And it's perfect terrain for a Nibali attack. But, you know, he didn't seem to have an awful lot of energy today. Just on today's stage, Rich, he did find himself at the front of the race when Dumoulin was dropped on that descent of Zapata with Quintana. And this was Nibali's analysis of what had actually happened at that point in the race. Well, to sum it up briefly, I was at the front on the descent of Zapata. There were three or four Sunweb riders pulling, but at a very easy pace. I told my teammates to move up too, and then Movistar came to the front and really put their foot down. The pink jersey was behind, and the group completely exploded. When we got to the bottom, we also started pulling. In total, I don't know how many kilometres we really pulled for, and anyway, Dumoulin started to get help from other teams and managed to bridge that gap of around 20-25 seconds on the penultimate climb. We then all sat up for a bit and the cars got reshuffled for the climb to Piancavallo.
So that was the shark, Daniel.
No shark's tail. Still no shark's tail. I'm only going
to... It just disappeared, didn't
it? I'm going to reintroduce it if he rides well tomorrow and he's in the pink jersey.
Well, there's an incentive for him. If he's listening, if you're listening, Enzo.
Well, what was quite interesting about that clip, Rich, was what we heard at the start, Nibali asking all of the journalists massed around the Bahrain bus for time gaps. He had no idea. And we see this every day pretty much, particularly on these mountain stages when people are coming in dribs and drabs. They have no idea how they've fared against the other contenders. And so Nibali was trying to get some information from the journalists. He was also obviously asked about this storm in a teacup, the controversy pitting him against Tom Dumoulin, the comments yesterday, and, you know, are they friends? Are they not friends? Is he friends with Quintana? It all seems a little bit petty, but people are still talking about the stage to Bormio, whether Bahrain, Quintana should have waited for Dumoulin. And also today, you know, were they entitled to press on and descent when Dumoulin was caught napping? And this is what Nibali had to say about that. In the past, I've been used to great champions. Even when I was a kid, I watched how the champions behaved, for example, our own Marco Pantani, and I never saw him being quite that cocky. Dumoulin apologised to me and to the others at the start today, and the slate's been wiped clean. That's how it has to work. Knowing when and how to apologise, wiping the slate clean, then in the race, anything can happen. In the whole argument of when to slow down or not, it depends on circumstances. If you're 60, 70, 100 kilometres from the finish, there's an unwritten rule that you show each other a certain kind of respect. You don't attack a rider if he punctures or has a mechanical problem 70 kilometres from the finish, but it's different when you're 20 or 15 kilometres from the final climb of a stage. Otherwise, I could say, oh, yesterday I didn't sleep well, I didn't recover, can you wait for me, out of fair play? Or, no, wait for me, I've got cramps today. It's an unwritten rule and everyone in the bunch knows when it has to be respected and when it doesn't.
We are listening to the cycling podcast at the Giro d'Italia, supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Hey, I am Fonzi. I looked this when I was younger, and now I am the new Fonzi, the new star. I would arrive in Milano with this black jersey because for me it's important for team, because the social and TV speak about this, and for us is important. This is my first Giro, and I am very happy to stay here.
Thank you very much indeed to Science and Sport, our sponsor at the Giro and throughout 2017. A reminder, you can get 20% off all Science and Sport products if you enter the code CPOD20 at scienceandsport.com, CPOD20 at scienceandsport.com. And then just after we heard about Science and Sport there, we heard from the Fonz.
Hey, he's Fonzie. Really embraced this, Fonzie. Hasn't he?
Well, it seems like that.
He's loving it. He also told me, Rich, that Lionel and I, on the stage to Blockhouse, we were intrigued and curious about the number of heavy goods vehicles parked up at the side of the road with Fonzie, a huge logo, Fonzie, on the side of them. We wondered whether it was his family and maybe one of his parents that they owned the company. And indeed, he confirmed that his father is a haulage magnate.
Father is a Fonz.
Yes, he is. But Fonzie, obviously enjoying himself, black jersey.
He's black jacket, pretty... black leather jacket.
Yes, very good. I didn't mention that to him. But he seems very, very determined to take this black jersey. And he was, the thing that amused me about talking to him this morning was that he was talking about the black jerseys as though it was a real thing. Unfortunately, it's not, because...
The Maglia Nera.
In UCI competitions, you can only have four prize jerseys, and the black jersey hasn't yet been reinstated.
Has it ever been? I mean, has the Maglia Nera? There was, because
Luigi Malabarocca was the most famous.
How long
wearer
did it last
of the black
for?
Jersey. I don't think that long. I think about 10-12 years.
Right. Interesting.
Interesting.
Daniel, before we finish tonight, I want to make a well, I was looking down the GC list just to look at any contenders for the Ala Zubeldia Award. But in the top 10, there's nobody. You cannot say that any of the people in the top 10 have ridden in a Ala Zubeldia way. I mean, Domenico Pozzovivo is sixth, but he's been very visible. He's very active.
Very aggressive. He's probably ridden his best year.
Maybe
best Bauke
Mollema. Bauke Mollema has been... But again, he's been pretty visible. Adam Yates, Bob Jungels, Stephen Kruiswijk battling, you know, injury. I would like to award the Ala Zubeldia prize for this Giro so far to Maxime Monfort, who's 13th overall.
Is it a prize? I didn't realise
it
was a prize.
No, it's a virtual prize.
Quintana's ridden a bit like that.
Quintana, give him the Ala Zubeldia.
I don't think
award.
He'd be amused. Really? I don't think he'd be very amused.
The guy in first overall has ridden Ala Zubeldia.
Ali, you know, there is... he came into his press conference tonight. He rode into his press conference, actually taking a leaf out of Tom Dumoulin's book, rode through the press room. And there is this sort of atmosphere and this question hanging in the air about whether he really is himself at this Giro, if he's riding to the level we've seen him ride at in the past. I mean, he seems to think, and this is what we're hearing from all of the general classification contenders, that the level here is just very, very high and everyone is performing really, really well. But, you know, he hasn't been hugely impressive the last couple of days, Quintana. And looking at the general classification now, he's probably the third or fourth favourite to win this race now.
Really? Do you think so?
I would say so, Rich.
You know what? I think he'll win the Tour de France. I think he'll be better there and he'll win the Tour de France. There, I said it.
Wow.
Anyway, let's just finish. We're in such a nice place, Daniel. I think we should go for dinner soon.
We should. Talking of dinner.
Honor Lionel.
I was trying to think of... We've kind of let the culinary references slip a little bit in the last couple of days, which is dangerous because people like that. Tomorrow we're going to Asiago.
Well, we had a wonderful pizza last night.
Yeah, well, that's part of the problem. Actually, as we've got further north, and I wouldn't say
this is... You're the Hawaiian?
I wouldn't say this is a... this is a universal culinary rule of travelling in Italy, but as we've got further north, the meals have probably declined in quality slightly. I think that's maybe because you're here and not Lionel. Lionel is more, he's more militant about going for good meals. But tomorrow, Rich, we're going to Asiago, and there's fantastic cheese from Asiago, world-renowned cheese from Asiago.
Like a bit of cheese.
Very good wines. Well, we have had some good wine in the last couple of days. I was very impressed with the Valtellina Superiore we had a couple of
nights ago.
Yeah, it was excellent. That was the night when Dino sang
of
course.
That was a wonderful place. Yeah, we had a great time there with the whole meal pasta as well. That was delicious.
Good talk, Eddie.
Yeah, very nice. Anyway, let's finish for tonight. We've got one more day in the mountains tomorrow. A crucial stage, first four. Separated by just 53 seconds. It could be the greatest
Grand Tour finale of all time.
It could be. It might nudge itself up to four wine glasses. You were saying today you're going to award it three wine glasses.
It's probably a three at the moment, but watch this space.
Watch this space. All right, Daniel, let's go and eat. In the meantime, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A reminder that you can watch the Giro d'Italia live and exclusive on Eurosport and Eurosport Player. UK viewers can also watch highlights of each stage at 10 p.m. on free-to-air channel Quest. There's a special offer for the Eurosport Player, £29.99 for an all-access pass for the rest of 2017. Details of availability, compatible devices and full terms and conditions can be found on the Eurosport Player website, uk.eurosportplayer.com. You've been listening to the Cycling Podcast in association with RAFA. Thanks to them and thanks to our other sponsors, Science and Sport and Maserati, and to All Press Espresso for supporting our morning show, Kilometre Zero. The music in this episode is by Amara Terra. Thanks to them. Thanks to those who help keep us on the road, in particular David Luxon, Jonathan Rowe, Nick Christian and Simon Gill. And thanks to Will Jones, who produced this episode.